You're listening to Cultivation Elevated, hosted by Michael Williamson and Anders Peterson, where we discuss vertical farming and the future of cannabis and food production.
What's growing on, Durs?
What's up, Gromy?
Yeah, hey, there we go. I like it. When you're talking to growers in Europe, are they open to multi-tier? Are they, you know, where's their mindset now? Because we do talk a lot about Europe being, I don't want to say behind the States, but yeah, it's kind of like going back in time a little bit, kind of out of the shadows and into the light a little bit. And so I was wondering if they're more focused on single tier HPS or single tiered LED, or if they are trying to, you know, watch the US and kind of get up to speed on how to maximize canopy in a space.
I think that question, the answer to that question varies depending on the country you're talking about in Europe. I think that's something I've learned is it's easy to group all of Europe together when talking about cannabis legalization, especially coming from North America. But the situation in Spain is way different than Portugal versus Switzerland and Holland and Germany. So it varies depending on where you're at. In Spain, there's still quite a big black market, you know, illicit cultivation scene where you're talking to people with 10 lights, and a lot of them are single tier HPS, or some have moved to LED. That mentality of, you know, how it is, you build your own grow rooms. It's not commercial construction with permits and all of these systems in place. Multi-tier is less common. Other countries like Switzerland, Holland, Germany, even Israel, Malta, these countries are much more interested in multi-tier just because the legalization has moved along a little bit further and they are building commercial construction, you know. So with commercial construction comes higher costs, bigger facilities, more advanced technology. And I think as they start going down the design path for these facilities, multi-tier becomes a much bigger conversation than when you're building an illicit legal grow.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And I mean, you know, it would be like trying to categorize all of the United States cannabis as the same. And I mean, we still have states where you can go to jail for a very small amount of cannabis. So there's mm-hmm. a lot of correlation there. And we have rich histories of traditional black market cultivation on the West Coast. And we've got our kind of emerging markets on the East Coast. So that, you know, that all kind of tracks well. Mm-hmm. Speaking of legalization, kind of big news for Germany. Recently, I think it was March 23rd or something like that.
It went into effect April 1st. So today, as we're recording this, it's the 5th of April. But so just a few days ago, it actually came into effect at midnight there in Germany. I probably am not the best expert to be talking about how this situation is unfolding. We have some great connections in Europe who are much more in the know. But from what I understand, this is kind of the first step in terms of a full legalization. It has decriminalized the possession and consumption of cannabis. Citizens are allowed to possess 25 grams on them, and they're allowed to grow up to 3 plants in their house. There's also a really cool website that the government has put out that shows areas where you're allowed to consume publicly, like in the open on the street, versus where you can't. So there's like red zones, like around Berlin, for example. Mm-hmm. And I think it centers around schools, heavy tourist areas, historical monuments, things like that.
I don't know if you know, but I'd be curious to know what the penalties are for something like that in one of those spaces. It's actually, it's kind of a great idea because there is certain areas, schools as an example, where, you know, you should give a little space. Same, so you're not drinking on the street outside of a school. So I actually like that idea. I imagine they're going to have some kind of app developed where you can just kind of see where you're at. And you're like, I'm either in a safe zone or not so safe zone.
I think it's cool too, because if you look at how cannabis is legalized here, especially in California, you know, it's legal, but you're not technically allowed to consume it outside of your residence. So the only legal area to really consume is at your home. You know, and so do people smoke on the street? Absolutely. You know, do they smoke outside? Absolutely. But it's not technically legal. They are taking a different approach, saying, okay, we'll legalize you allowing to smoke on the street, but just be respectful of these areas and don't consume there, or there is a penalty, which I think is fair. I think as a cannabis consumer, both of us for a long time, we've learned that there is an etiquette around, you know, consuming cannabis responsibly and respectfully. I think that's fair with legalization. Like,
yeah, I do too. Speaking of fair, I don't know about, well, there's so many questions I have about three plants per household. You know, in my mind, I'm like, I'm trying to imagine if you're younger and you got roommates and, you know, is it three plants per person? Is it three plants per household? And three plants is a tricky number because is that three mature plants? Is that three plants total? You know, are you keeping a mother and then taking a cut? You know, I know that that's not going to be a police thing and it's just kind of an open, it's an open rule or policy that allows people to do something. And it's very difficult to enforce at that level because there's, what is there, 92 million people or something like that in Germany?
Yeah, I think it's 85. Yeah. 'Cause I think it's about double California, which is 45.
Okay. But that being said, I don't think a lot of people realize in the States just how much population and how critical Germany specifically is. And so when we were traveling this summer, we were in Switzerland, mm-hmm. We were also in Germany. And it seemed like the main theme or the conversations were, I heard a lot of statements like Germany is the first domino. Essentially, once Germany goes, everything else kind of follows. So Germany really is kind of like, I don't want to call it the California of Europe, but it is the mecca, it seems, of not just legalization, but allowing the importation from other countries that follow EU GMP guidelines. They're kind of the head of the snake, so to speak.
It does definitely seem that way, that a lot of other countries are waiting to see how Germany legalizes it, especially because there's such a big voice on the world stage in terms of the United Nations and the WHO. They have a little bit more of a voice to qualm some of the concerns on the international stage where other countries maybe are not as strong of a voice. I know that there is a, I believe it's in the World Health Organization, they do have a drug policy that, and I may be tied into the UN, I'm probably butchering this, but I'm aware that there's a drug policy where, you know, they could lose some other political benefits in the UN or WHO by legalizing cannabis because the WHO has not been for it, the World Health Organization. And so, but if a country like Germany does it anyways, they're less likely to see the ramifications as maybe one of the smaller countries. So if they've done it, they've been able to qualm those concerns, then other countries feel safe doing it without repercussions.
Sure. That makes total sense. When we were in Europe this summer, it seemed like a lot of the countries are doing pilot programs as well with the countries that they reside in. And there was a handful of people that were selected. I'm not sure what that process looked like or looks like. But basically, it seems like the countries are going to have a lot more input and say into best practices and into kind of how things are done, which is a quite a bit different than how we've done things in the States or Canada.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like Holland has, they obviously had a long history in Amsterdam, the Netherlands with cannabis. But again, it's been in a gray area where they tolerate the coffee shops, but there's no permitted cultivation or import. So essentially, if you can get the product to the coffee shop in the door, then you're okay. But the whole transit to the coffee shop, you're still breaking the law, essentially, is how I understand it. But so Holland has instituted a pilot program to try and fix that issue by issuing 10 cultivation licenses that will be able to distribute to these coffee shops. And I think as of right now, like two are built and starting to get operational. Three more are pretty close, but they're not all up and running yet. And then Switzerland also has a pilot program for high THC. Switzerland has an interesting history with legalization of cannabis. In the late 90s, there was a couple of years where it was fully legal. You could go into stores and buy it.
I purchased it. I purchased it in the late 90s on a high school trip.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And then they turned around and said, and they stopped allowing it. And it's been this almost 10-year period or more of kind of a going back in time. But now they have, you know, high CBD. They allow cultivation of hemp and smokable CBD products to be cultivated there. And now they're starting again with a pilot program allowing some of these licenses to grow high THC. I got to visit one of those facilities outside of Zurich. It's a beautiful facility, and they're one of the few now permitted to actually grow high THC in Switzerland.
Nice. Yeah, I'll never forget that. I was probably 16 or 17 years old, and if you were part of Spanish Club and you could cough up the cash, they did an annual trip to Europe. And it had nothing to do with Spanish at all, speaking language stuff, but it was a great experience. But my dear friend was walking down the street in Switzerland, and I'll have to double check. It was either Lucerne or it was Zurich, but all of a sudden he saw cannabis in the window and of a retail store. He was just randomly walking by. They saw like live plants. And so he, you know, naturally went in and, you know, he basically was like, can I buy this? And they were like, sure. And they had a whole bunch of, and I'll never forget, it was called B52. And to date, I don't know what was on this cannabis or what made up this cultivar, but it was some of the most powerful cannabis I had ever experienced, to the point where you were borderline hallucinating. It was that strong. And I wasn't the only person that had that experience, you know, and we were kids, so we weren't as experienced as we are today, but it was some of the most powerful cannabis, and it was 100% legal at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, from my understand, like anything, they went a little bit too far. They didn't help self-regulate the people selling it. And it got a little out of hand. And that's why Switzerland kind of put the kibosh on it. Kind of same thing with Prop 215 in California. For those aren't familiar, Proposition 215 was the medical bill that California operated under from, I think, 1997 to January of 2018. And it was a gray market, as we say. It was legal, but there was no permitting, no real regulations. And what we did was we had a mutual benefit nonprofit model that allowed us to operate as a corporate structure. And we ran it as legitimately as possible. We did our own lab testing, even though it wasn't required. We tried to help shape these regulations, and we would push the limit of plant count and size of facilities and product on hand until law enforcement would push back. And there was kind of this mutual understanding in a lot of different regions of California between these operators and law enforcement about what you could get away with, what you couldn't. Like, the more patients I had signed up to my collective, the more legal defense I had and how much weight I could carry, you know, hundreds mm-hmm. of pounds in my truck with a binder full of patient forms. You
sure.
Know?
Yep. that's the way we started off in Colorado too. You had like six plants per patient, and we had the binder, and we were everybody's caregiver. But then we learned that, you know, there wasn't a lot of tracking back then. So they'd go to the next spot and assign their caregivership to the next dispensary. So, mm-hmm. you know, when you really looked at it from a top-down perspective, if you were to really audit it, it was a total scam.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd go to High Times Cannabis Cups and, you know, set up a booth and just, you know, have everyone sign up who came by the booth. And then yes. you would give them a $5 discount on an eighth or a gram of something, you know. So
yep.
That's how we would get our patient count up. But, you know, one thing I found interesting that was a comparison between how United States legalized state to state and then how Europe is going about it. One big difference that I could tell is in the United States, the first moving states, you know, California, Colorado, Washington, Oregon, for example, they put a lot of work in to create this regulatory framework, the actual verbiage and language that goes into law to regulate and create rules for this industry. And then as more states legalized, essentially what happened was a lot of them copy and pasted sections from other states' documents and created they picked and choosed kind of what they wanted and what they didn't. And because it was all the same, technically, like, you know, government framework, state to state, it was pretty applicable. You could kind of do this copy and paste regulatory move. And we were all still federally illegal, so they all felt safe to structure it in this way, state by state. In Europe, it's not like that. You know, yes, there a lot of these countries are all in the EU, but they all have different government like structures. And you mm-hmm. know, like Germany, the Bundestag and Bundesrat are very similar, from what I understand, to our House representatives and Senate, but very different how laws are passed. And in Switzerland has a very different structure than Holland. And so this copy and paste mentality is not the same, from what I understand, in Europe. And they're gonna have to. And it's federal legalization, not state by state in all these mm-hmm. countries, right? So mm-hmm. they're going to have to come up with their own verbiage and regulations that satisfy their own laws and government. And I don't know if that's going to be a deterrent or easier for them. I don't know. I think there probably will be some copying and pasting between different countries' laws just to make it easier. But yeah, that was definitely a difference for me.
Yeah, time will tell. You know, I've seen the copy and paste stuff, and it's a little frustrating because, you know, as you know, we operate in lots of different states, and, you know, it's kind of like a Rubik's Cube each state. You know exactly how to grow cannabis, but you may have to jump through some additional hoops due to the regulatory stuff. And a lot of it's not in favor of the farmer in terms of costs, labor. Some of the tracking is so redundantly ridiculous. It also has loopholes in it. You know, I know that Colorado might be pushing back on Metric right now, basically saying that it's easy to work around. So what's the point? It's also, we're a consolidated market and this costs us a lot of money. We don't know that we'll be able to survive if we have to keep paying 50 cents for a Metric tag or whatever it might be now.
One of those examples that I found to be particularly frustrating is how you regulate production capacity. So states have taken two different stances. They regulate on plant count or total canopy square feet. And my preference, I think we would agree on this, is by regulating by canopy square foot, not by plant count. We could do a whole podcast on why that is so inefficient to regulate by plant count, not only for the construction, the costs of building a facility, the cultivation strategy, the operating costs, but also energy and power wise for the actual resources of the state.
We should probably do that on another podcast. I would be happy to kind of go through all that. We can go state by state and talk about some of those nuanced differences. Don't be a stranger. If you ever see Anders and I out, we love to chat cannabis 8 days a week. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening.